This morning is the first episode in our series, Ours to Protect, funded by Commission na Mban and the television licence fee in partnership with Midwest Radio and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. Our theme in episode one is material waste and how to reduce it, sustainability and afforestation. We have live guests in studio and some recorded clips which we're going to share with you on the programme this morning. First, we're going to talk about material waste reducing and sustainability. And we all know about the wonderful competition Junketure, which has been a phenomenal success over recent years and continues to allow young people to educate themselves in recycling of particularly materials to do with fashion. So in this, our first episode, we begin by talking to some of the young people from Youth Reach Kilchema, Youth Reach Ballinrobe and the Santa Maria College in Lewisburg, who've been telling us about their Junketure adventure. Here's what they had to say.
Full outfit was made from recycled materials.
Great.
To sew the dress, the base for the dress, we used secondhand clothes. We got it from our classmates.
And charity shop.
Yeah, charity shop. And then to make details, we was using plastic from plastic bottles. We was cutting the plastic and then
melting with the lighter, shaping it so it wouldn't be sharp and it would have like a leaf form.
Yeah, and then we
spray painted them with gold.
And then we, to make the shape look more natural, we put a moss on top. To use the moss, we pick up, grab moss from outside, just in the parks. Then we was bringing it back to school, put it down on the floor.
Yeah, we're drying them up, cutting off like the dirt. We found like a lot of earthworms. And our shoes, they were amazing. We used like a lot of moss, then like plastic bottles, then we used buttons because we wanted to it to look like, you know, very dirty. Shoes.
And also we was trying to use all the materials what we had, like especially the secondhand clothes.
Yeah.
When we used the fabric, there was like some buttons, so we used them too.
We were using everything we picked up from forest. We were using everyone else's clothes, like we weren't buying stuff.
Sometimes we was walking just on a corridor and somebody was putting in the bin their bottle, plastic bottle. We're like, no, give it to me, we need more bottles.
Anyway, that's just a random sample of some of the girls and the lads there from Youth Reach Kilchema, Ballinrobe and Santa Maria College, just explaining to us kind of ad hoc as to the kind of fashions that they involved themselves in during that Junketure competition. Joining me on the programme is Katie Brill, who is the Senior Vice President, PR and Communications Officer with Junketure. And good morning, first of all, Katie. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Just having a little taste there of the students from Youth Reach Kilchema, Ballinrobe, and the students from Santa Maria College in Lewisburg. Apart from the educational aspect of Junketure, there was also that fun element. And just for the benefit, again, of listeners who don't know what Junketure is, just briefly give us the overview on it, Katie.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think majority of people might just think of Junketure as a fashion competition for schools across Ireland, but we are a global platform for creative sustainability. And what we do is we challenge students aged 12 to 19 to design and construct outfits entirely from recycled materials. As you've heard today, that means no newly purchased fabric or any materials at all. Everything has to be 100% reused or repurposed, and the students go out and have to collect and get their communities involved in retrieving these materials, which directly helps prolong waste ending up in landfills and raise awareness about our throwaway culture. And inevitably then all those designs take to the stage and perform on, you know, our world final and regional finals that we have across Ireland and across the world.
I was reading somewhere a statistic recently, Katie, that suggests that we have in existence at the moment enough clothes to actually clothe 4 or 5 generations. Every wardrobe, in every corner of every house, there are a lot of materials, a lot of blouses and jeans and shirts and t-shirts that are just laying there, begging to be recycled.
Absolutely. And you know, the saying is the most sustainable item of clothing you have is already existing in your wardrobe. And it's to really, you know, instill that culture of, you know, looking at the waste around us as the resources of tomorrow, looking at those old pair of jeans and an old maybe your grandfather's blazer and seeing what you can do with that and upcycling. And that's what these young people are doing. And, you know, each of their designs that they're creating are absolutely phenomenal. Look at the craftsmanship that these students put in across the year of participating in Junkature. But every participant is now also researching the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, and they're incorporating one or more of those into the inspiration of their designs. So really embedding that circular thinking into young people that we hope after the competition that they'll carry into their daily lives, if that is with their own wardrobe, thinking twice about shopping from fast fashion, looking at where they shop from, looking at potentially repairing, thrifting some of their items of clothes. You know, we had one example of a contestant this year, Clodagh. She's such a standout participant who's entered Junkature twice now, and she went on to win the World Designer of the Year this year. And she created a show-stopping design. Like, honestly, if you could see it now, it's, imagine 2,000 mussel shells that she collected from restaurants, cleaned and polished them herself, hand-drilled them and assembled her garment. And it was all inspired by SDG 2 Zero Hunger. So how she wanted to highlight how biodiversity plays a role, a vital role in food security, and particularly for the coastal communities. But her design now can be kept in circulation. It's been on Oxfam, front stores. She's been at local events with Junkature with her design. But her next step is that she wants to dismantle the whole design and blitz it, basically, to become a fertilizer. So it's fantastic to see that these students are thinking about circularity, and they're keeping materials out of landfill for as long as possible, you know. Because
it's important. And of course, as well as Junkature, we also have the ReLove Fashion, which is a sustainable fashion competition open to young people of secondary school ages across the country. So there's a lot happening in educating our young people about sustainable fashion. I'm also joined here in studio by Sharon Cameron, Environmental Awareness Officer at Mayo County Council. Sharon, you know, this Junkature competition is something that's fairly close to your heart.
It is very much so, Tommy. And my own daughter was involved in it when she was in transition year. And it really does have that benefit of educating them and making them think a little bit about the whole fashion industry and keeping things in circulation for as long as possible. And then this year we were very involved in the ReLove Fashion competition. We were sponsor of it this year, and it was the first year we were involved in it, and I was very fortunate to get to the final of it. And the talent that is out there among the young people is just absolutely amazing. The ReLove Fashion, it concentrates on the young people creating something that's wearable, you know, something that they can wear again and that is fashionable. But again, it has to be out of something they've in the cupboard already, or something that they get from the charity shop. And the talent was just really, really good. The outfits were beautiful. And we had two finalists from Mayo. We had a finalist from Santa Maria College in Lewisburg. We had a group of students there. And then a student from St. Louis in Kiltimaw took a regional award at it. So it's a really, really good one. But yeah, lovely, lovely outfits on the day. Certainly something that they will wear again.
And just before we move away from this idea of recycling fashions, if I can go back to Katie, in terms of being able to measure the impact that Junkature has had so far, and it still is a relatively new concept, do you think it's going to be a generation before we really realise the impact it's had?
Well, most importantly for us is, and it's actually a great question, because we've just put together our annual impact report that we're doing every year now, Junkature, and we'll be releasing that very soon. And that's looking at everything from the quantity of waste that is repurposed and saved from landfills, but also the direct impact that it's having on young people. You look at green skills and the importance of equipping young people with green skills, and you look at them like confidence, public speaking, leadership qualities, is creative problem solving, innovation. All of these skills are transferable skills that no matter what careers these young people go into, they'll carry that at the forefront of their thinking, be it that if they go into sustainability, fashion design, or even if they just go into medicine or science. Sustainability isn't going anywhere, and it's something that we have to equip young people with, this thinking that they carry into their daily lives but also into their future careers. So that impact is so important that we measure, and I think that it's only going to grow, and the statistics that we can get from that over the next couple of years, for sure.
Okay, we will wait and see, but I think certainly young people are embracing that Junketure concept. Katie, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme today. One of the other themes that we want to discuss this morning is afforestation, and it would be remiss of me not to allude to this Environmental Protection Agency report that came out yesterday. It's in all of the newspapers this morning. We have moved backwards in our goals of reducing our carbon emissions by 51% by 2030. The latest stats showing that here in Ireland, we're on course for a maximum reduction by 2030 of 23%. It was revealed yesterday by the Environmental Protection Agency. And Dermot Tourney, who's the director of the DCU Institute for Climate and Society, said it is depressing the scale of actions in Ireland that is needed in order to get us to our required 51% by 2030. It simply sounds like it isn't going to happen. So we need to plant more trees is the bottom line. And we are definitely going to have to improve that particular concept in the not too distant future. Just on deforestation, first of all, Youth Reach Ballinrobe actually based their project around their concerns around deforestation. And here's a little snippet of what they had to say.
Name Voice of the Forest, and it was about
destruction of the forest and our nature. And we wanted to show the good side and the bad side of the environment, that part of the effort was like destruction of the forest and the other side was peace and harmony. We wanted to show it.
So the top was about harmony and peace, and the bottom it had red colors, what was symbolizing blood or fire.
What is it, the main thing that worries you about deforestation?
Trees are the lungs of our planet, so when they cut them down, the air is like getting even more, it's not clean, so it's very hard to breathe with this. And we do it to ourselves like this, so we wanted to show how important our trees.
Yeah, the importance of trees. I may bring in Lorna Dennehy, who is the Community Climate Action Officer with Mayo County Council. Lorna, thanks for coming in. Good morning.
Thanks, Tommy.
In relation to where we're at with deforestation, we need to plant a heck of a sight more trees, don't we?
We really do. Like, with deforestation, it's if we're losing trees as we are, it's a major contribution to climate change, the carbon emissions. Trees act as our carbon sponges to take in our carbon. If we have fewer trees, there's less carbon being removed from the air. Also, the biodiversity loss that comes with the loss of trees. Forests are homes to more than 80% of species we have here in Ireland, and their loss reduces the ecosystems and the biodiversity that we have here in Ireland. So it's a really big problem. And I suppose it's also a really big contribution to global greenhouse gas emissions. And you think of the likes of, on a bigger scale, the loss of the Amazon and stuff like that. But we really need to address it on a local level here by getting communities involved in planting more trees and looking after our wildlife and biodiversity.
And in trying to get people to plant more trees, I mean, there are incentives, there's grant schemes, there's a lot of that stuff going on. So why aren't people more likely to plant trees, or what's the hesitancy, do you think?
To be honest, I don't think there's a hesitancy as long as there's funding there and there's good community groups willing to do the hard work. I suppose that's it. It's about getting the manpower to do it. So getting schools involved, getting community groups involved is the main thing. I suppose I administer the Community Climate Action Fund for Mayo County Council, and one of the things that you can do under that fund is get money towards planting trees and getting community involvement and stuff like that. So I wouldn't necessarily say there's hesitation, but I suppose it's about getting the manpower behind it, because it is a very big task. task to plant the amount of trees we need to get planted. So I know through my fund, we are funding the likes of the River Moy Search and Rescue. They are doing great work down in Ballina and Bleak Woods in reforesting and the woods down there. So I suppose it's about getting those key community groups and having the funding behind them to get the trees planted.
There are a lot of stakeholders. We had hoped to speak with Chagas, but there are other stakeholders as well. When it comes to trying to get farmers to be more mindful of plantation, because there are a cohort of people who are very anti-forestation, isn't there?
There is, yeah, because I suppose there's been, in recent times, people are now being told, oh, we've planted the wrong trees and the wrong things were done. And I suppose people get a bit jaded with the fact that they're being told one thing and trying to do that, and they think they're doing good. But now we realise that maybe the wrong trees are planted in the wrong places, the wrong use of land, which can lead to more more consequences for the environment and for emissions and stuff like that. So I suppose it's about having the right expertise and the right people guiding the people who are planting the trees in the first place, so that we're not coming back in a few years being like, oh, we did the wrong thing at the wrong time there. So I think it's about people having the correct information and the correct expertise. And again, well, like I said, the resources to actually get the work done.
I do have Paul Butler now, Forestry Liaison Officer with Chagas, with us. Paul, good morning.
Hiya, Tommy.
Thanks for joining us. So tell us from a Chagas perspective, because you have a serious remit here when it comes to enticing people to plant more trees. What are you doing to try and persuade them?
Well, as Laurel's saying, there are various issues associated with the planting of trees at the moment. So we're addressing those. And one of the things we're doing is explaining what happened over the history of forestry in Ireland. And forestry was done for lots of reasons. Forestry was started on poor ground with very limited number of species. So that has changed now, and the way forestry is done has changed, and the grants reflect that. So what we're doing in Chagas, one of the things we're doing, certainly in the promotional part of forestry, is explaining the new grant system and the benefits that accrue to a farm when they plant trees on the farm. So it's not, we're trying to get the message across that it's not forestry or farm or farming. It's forestry and farming, and the two of them integrate and give benefits that we never really thought about when forestry was started at the foundation of the state, you know. So it's a whole new scenario, and Chagas is promoting that message. And the grants are actually very good, as you've mentioned earlier. So it's getting that information out to people.
It also requires a change in mindset, doesn't it?
I do think that's right, yes. I think it requires a change in mindset. And I think the new grant system is a help in making people look at this as a serious option, because the Chagas figures themselves show that planting trees with the money that's available now is actually competitive with sheep farming and dry stock farming in terms of the money per hectare per annum that you can get from those activities. So that brings landowners and farmers into conversation with their agricultural advisors and Chagas and so on, and with their forestry advisors. So the mindset then is to get that message across. Well, actually, if you have trees on your farm, what happens is things like lamb mortality decreases when shelter is put on a field. Grass grows better. You have a 5-degree increase in the air temperature when you have shelter on your farm. You have a 2-degree increase in the soil temperature. So these it encourages grass growth. And the research in agroforestry, which is a particular scheme where trees are grown on grazed fields, has shown that because the soil dries out, because the air temperature goes up, because the soil temperature goes up, the grazing season for farmers who use agroforestry is actually extended. And in some places it's been shown to be extended by up to 17 weeks. Now, in the west of Ireland, I think if you got 17 weeks, that would be amazing. But even if you got half of that, that would be 8 or 9 weeks of an extended grazing season. I think that would be an enormous benefit. Most farmers would recognise that as being an enormous benefit in terms of saving on labour and in terms of saving on feedstock and in terms of animal health as well, because animals outside are generally far better off in terms of their well-being, you know?
Yeah. Okay, listen, thanks, Paul, for joining us. Paul Butler, he's Forestry Liaison Officer with Chagas. Thank you very much for being part of Ours to Protect. Sharon, just extending out on what we've been saying there in relation to afforestation. You know, we've had extraordinary weather events recently. We had the fine weather. We had Storm Éowyn in January. We've had forest fires in Gurtheganny, which have devastated vast amount of forests. So when you add all of that into the mix, it's a bad time, I suppose, to be trying to persuade people to plant trees.
I think that while Paul was chatting there and Lauren was chatting, and what was coming to my mind really, and this morning's programme is very much about responsible consumption, all right? And us, you know, using less, you know, recycling our clothes and all of that. A lot, if you look at this globally, like a lot of the loss of forests is, you know, clearing land to grow food. So next week is National Food Waste Recycling Week. We're encouraging people to cut down on food waste, you know, use their brown bin and all that. And sometimes people don't make that link. So if you go into a supermarket and you're buying your food, you know, look in the label, look where it's coming from. And in that country, has forests been cleared to grow that food? And like what you can do, and sometimes, you know, there's all of these things that, you know, the storms and these events, and it can be quite overwhelming about what we can do. But cutting down on food waste is really important, because if something has made that journey, if a forest has been sacrificed to grow that food, well, the least we can do is eat it, you know, and be mindful about where we're getting our food from. If you can get it locally, grow yourself. You know, I've been in a lot of schools over the last few months as part of the Green Schools programme. So many of our schools out there now, primary and secondary, have their raised beds, their polytunnels, they're growing their own food. They're even cooking some of the food in school to get the children used to having them skills and connecting with our food. And that sometimes may be a link that people don't see. And another one that comes to mind, and I probably will chat to you more about this again, because we've taken on a campaign in the Environment Office to capture school books that we know are going to end up in bins in the next few weeks. At the moment, we're working with 15 secondary schools, and already thousands of books have been collected, and they're going to be transported out to Ghana to schools that don't have any books. But again, there's so many new editions every year of school books and all of this. You know, paper is needed to make school books. Paper comes from trees. So sometimes, you know, it's just to make the links of what are we wasting? What's causing these forests to be cut down? Because they need more land or
for
whatever.
For
food. And there's been a big move at the moment towards, you know, compostable packaging. Oh, my disposable cup is okay because it's compostable. Again, if we're using land to grow some sort of plant-based material to turn it into a cup that we're going to throw out after 15 minutes, then that's not an environment benefit. It's a little bit of a lesser evil than plastic, but it's not an environment benefit. So so I guess it's all about just our practices. And, you know, you may not be in a position to go out and plant trees on your land. You may not have land. But there's so much every single person can do in their homes and in their workplace to make a difference. And I think that's the piece. People are just a little bit overwhelmed sometimes about, you know, what can I do? This is hard. And especially our young people. They are concerned about climate change, and they're seeing these weather events that I haven't seen in my lifetime. And so I think to give these simple practices by, you know, using our charity shops, using them platforms like Vinted and Depop and all the ones there that for exchange and reuse of clothes, they are really, really important and they make a difference.
You've made some really interesting links there that I would never have thought of, which is, you know, if I'm consuming food, I should be asking the question, where did this food A come from, and did it involve removing a forest in order to do it. And the other idea where people are throwing out books, they're probably putting them in the recycling bin, thinking that they're going to, you know, be recycled, whereas in fact they could be better used by sending it to a country where they have no books.
Yeah, they have, you know, and like definitely, and we partnered with a charity called Cross Cause, and this idea came to me really, and it came again from young people. I was back in Rice College in Westport with the teacher back there, and he was telling me how they had sent their books out to Ghana. And I said, well, why can't every school do this? But they needed someone to coordinate it and they need the funding. And that's where Mayo County Council have come in. So all I can say at the moment to your listeners is, please don't put any school books into the recycling bin just for the moment until I come back and talk and we get the word out and extend the campaign. A bit of logistics to be put in place yet, but already thousands of books collected already from secondary schools. Really good, perfect books. So.
Yeah, that's really important. Lorna, last word to you. I was talking to your colleague Laura Dixon down at the Mary Robinson conference, Climate and Nature Conference, which I think was a huge success by all accounts.
Yeah, it was brilliant. There was a great program over the 2 days. Amazing speakers from all over Ireland, all over the world, and well, some really interesting.
Were you there?
I was, yeah, and I was running a stand yesterday and trying to get the word out on all we do in Mayo County Council, so it was great 2 days.
In the context of what our themes are this week, which is to do with material waste reduction, sustainability and afforestation, was there anything at that conference that stood out for you in the context of our theme today?
I think there was a lot. I didn't get to all the talks now, Tommy. I'm only one person. But there was definitely, there was talks on nature-based solutions, on how we can use them to further help the climate crisis. So that would be a lot to do with afforestation and deforestation. And I suppose for the reuse of the sustainable materials and stuff like that, there was talks on that too. I can't remember the precise one, but there was cover and all those. Yeah. They're very relevant topics at the minute, and I suppose that's what the work we're trying to help with our funding in Mayo County Council in regards to the schools and with the community groups. So yeah, it was great 2 days full of talks
and information, and it was lovely to see so many younger people there. That's what really surprised
me. Yeah, it's great, and I suppose we're doing great work going out to the schools and seeing them in place. We ran a really good campaign there recently on no idling in the schools, so we ran a poster competition for kids to send in their submissions to teach parents why they shouldn't be idling their cars while they're outside the schools. It's a little thing, but I think people don't remember that kids are actually the height of the exhaust, so they're the ones that are getting these. And you might think, oh, I'll just leave the car running while I'm dropping Timmy into school and it'll be fine, but even just turning it off for those few minutes is saving carbon emissions, also saving energy, and also saving the air that the kids are breathing going to school. So it's just great seeing all the input we got on that poster competition.
That's
was
good.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it goes to prove yet again, if you work from the bottom up and realise that if we can educate our young people to be more sustainable, to be more conscious of everything to do with our climate, because ultimately they are the generation that's going to suffer. We might get under the line, but our future generations won't. Well, I'll get under the line. Neither of you two girls might.
Absolutely. There was a great thing actually said at the conference where they said, we're always talking about how the next generation are going to be the great leaders, but we're the leaders now. We actually need to lead the children who are going to be these great leaders, because we're probably the ones that have caused it. So yeah, it was a great point that was made.
And very finally and briefly, Sharon, you know, this is the conversation nobody wants to have. Climate action, carbon footprint, afforestation, material waste. We don't want to be talking like this, but we have to.
We have to. And when I'm working with young people, I often think that like they have it so much, it is much more difficult, because when we were that age, we didn't have as much decisions to make. You know, you didn't have to worry about cutting down on the amount of clothes you were buying, because we didn't have much anyhow. And our food was, you know, in my case, was grown by my parents, you know, and
organic.
Completely. And now there's, you know, there's so much influences through social media, and all this is always to bring that conversation back to needs and wants and what you actually need to live and what you want. And there is a difference. And unfortunately, we live in a world where people, there's a lot of wants, and we're always we're always getting them messages that, you know, you're going to be happier when you buy the next outfit, or, and, you know, all of them things, because we live in such a kind of a world now of social media that, you know, if you're photographed in that outfit recently, then it's, you know, it's, you know, you don't want to be seen it again.
Or perish the thought that you would wear the same dress to two weddings.
Yeah, so like when the whole thing with fashion, I will always remember a photograph that my own mother had, and it was a picture of her coming down the steps of a plane coming back from London, where she had worked in her early 20s, and she had the most beautiful outfit on her, like really good quality clothes. And it wasn't that she had loads of money. It's just that was probably one of two outfits, you know. But it was, that outfit probably lasted for years. And things have changed so much. And our young people now, you know, they have all this choice. So it's a little bit more difficult because we're encouraging them to make the right choice for the environment.
A nice little tip from one listener to Sharon, to say that as well as asking parents not to throw out school books, not to throw out copybooks, because she says so many students have unused copybooks or partly used copybooks, and all they have to do is to cut out the used pages and then supply you with the copybook.
Yeah, absolutely perfect. And again, this goes back to schools when they're making their lists now for September again, you know, to really think about, because I have them stacks of copies in my own house. From, you know, on a book list, you're told to get so many stacks of copies, and they're all over them. So definitely they would treasure them as well. And we're talking about children who have nothing, you know, nothing in an educational sense to, you know, to work with. So anything but Irish language books is what we will be looking for. So we'll chat more about it again in the next week or so.
Excellent. Listen, it's been lovely having you both in studio. Lorna, thank you. And thank you, Sharon. And to all our other contributors, and thanks to Lorna, Melanie for coordinating our first episode. Ours to Protect is funded by Commission Amman with the television licence fee, and is a partnership between Midwest Radio and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. And we'll have another episode in the series next month.